Let me ask you a question. Are you able each evening to lie down and sleep in peace? I've got friends who are missionaries out in Uganda. They work in a theological college. They live in a campus on the edge of that campus. And alongside that campus is a busy road. On the other side of that road is a busy bar, which is therefore only a few feet from my friend's house. So they go to bed and lie, hearing the sounds of a busy nighttime bar pumping out the music and the laughter and chatter of people enjoying consuming large amounts of alcohol not too far from them. But that's not really what I'm talking about when I say, are you able to sleep peacefully at night? It's not about the noise outside that might disturb your peace. It's not about your spouse's snoring. It's not about your housemate coming back in late at night and slamming the door. I mean, when your head touches the pillow, are your eyes able to close, your mind to switch off, and for you to peacefully drift off to sleep? Because you're not plagued by worries or fears. The person who sleeps in peace doesn't face threat. Their heart knows joy and they know real blessing. Now, if you were here this morning, you might be thinking, well, Tom, are you just trying to preach the same sermon, make it sound a little bit different? We were thinking about sleep this morning, but this will be different. We were in Psalm 3 where we saw David lying down to sleep and waking again because the Lord sustains him. Here in Psalm 4, we see David talking again about lying down to sleep in peace. Verse 8. I think the Anglican prayer book uses these two psalms for its morning and evening prayer. Psalm 3 works well for a morning prayer. You lie down to sleep and you wake again because the Lord sustains me. Psalm 4 works well as for evening prayer. Lie down and sleep in peace. You might want to try that as a morning and evening routine. Now in Psalm 3, our focus was more on fear. The fear that David could easily have felt because there were tens of thousands of real physical enemies surrounding him. And we thought about how we can face fear in a scary world. We saw that we didn't need to fear because we can cope. Or not because we can cope, but because King Jesus has been delivered from the threat against him. He's been delivered from the sin that he took on. He's been delivered from the devil. He's been delivered from evil. He's been raised up. That tomb was broken open. He was raised from the dead. He was raised through the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of God. He reigns in glory. And because King Jesus has been delivered, his people can know blessing. They can know blessing of lying down to sleep and waking up. That's what we were thinking about this morning. We need not fear things, however big and scary they might be, because Jesus is the biggest and the scariest. Here in Psalm 4, there's some fear, but it's not central like in Psalm 3. So have a look at verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. So the psalmist arrives at the end of the psalm at a place of peace in which he lies down and sleeps. Now he started the psalm in distress. Verse 1, can you see that? Give me relief from my distress. But he's found peace. So this psalm then shows us the path from distress to peaceful sleep. Just the path from distress to peaceful sleep. So first step. This is the first step to peaceful sleep. Abandon idols. Okay? David's in distress. We're in Psalm 4, everyone. Page 544 of the Blue Church Bibles. David's in distress, verse 1. He's calling out to God. We don't know what that distress is. It might be the same distress that we thought about this morning, Psalm 3, when he's fleeing from his son Absalom, who's taken over Jerusalem, taken over Israel, and David is being hunted down by the forces of Israel. Maybe it's that distress. Maybe it's different distress. We don't know. In verse 2, he stops speaking to God and he starts speaking to people. So have a look, verse 2. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. You people, referring probably to the big and powerful people in society. And they, verse 2, have been turning his glory into shame. In other words, they've been humiliating. They've been shaming him. They've gone after delusions and false gods. And David, verse 3, wants them to know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant, has set apart David for himself. And the Lord will hear him, will hear David, when others humiliate and mock, when they go after other gods. Now, it's always good to think how our King Jesus would have sung this psalm. In verse 2, we can imagine Jesus Christ speaking to his opponents. What we need to remember is that we used to be part of this crowd. We were part of the crowd that the Lord Jesus would have been speaking to. This crowd of people who were mocking Jesus. The crowd that called out, "Crucify." That was us. Now, if we're trusting in Christ right now, then we're no longer part of that crowd. That's not us in this psalm. But when we were in that crowd, we turned Jesus' glory into shame, verse 2. Or think of Paul's words in Romans in slightly different language. Paul wrote this, "We didn't glorify him as God, nor give thanks to him, but our thinking became futile, and our foolish hearts were darkened. Although we claimed to be wise, we became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles." That was us before we met Christ. Not giving the glory to God, but exchanging that glory and going after other false images and gods. Now we're in Christ. Now we're no longer his opponents. Now we're no longer part of that crowd. But we haven't yet totally thrown off our old selves. We're still people who go after false gods. We're still people who turn his glory into shame, who don't give him the worship that he deserves. Now, these aren't physical idols made out of gods that we physically bow down to. We know that. We've heard that lots of times before. They're the things that we worship, that we put between us and God. They're the things that we look to for joy, the things that we look to for meaning in our lives. They're the things that we struggle to live without. Those are the things that we worship in our hearts, the idols, the false gods that we bow down to. Now, we can be deluded, like the people in this psalm, that they offer what we want. When in actual fact, David writes, it's the Lord alone and his faithful servant, Jesus, who will give us what we really need. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. We must listen to Jesus and abandon our idols. So that's the first step on the path to peaceful sleep. We abandon our idols. Second step, we search our hearts. So verses 44 to 5, have a look at this. David tells the people around him, "Tremble and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." Tremble and do not sin. Tremble before God, before the Almighty One, before the Holy One. In other words, fear God and do not sin. That's what stops us from sinning. The fear of God. Knowing that He's God. He's King. And we need to do what he says. Tremble before God and do not sin. And David zooms in on them in their beds, doesn't he? See that in verse 4? Perhaps the place where plotting is done. Another psalm, Psalm 36, talks about the wicked and says this in verses 3 to 4 of Psalm 36. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. Another psalm where thinking about people lying on their beds plotting. Now, this was a time before electricity where no doubt they went to bed earlier and the nights may well have been longer. Plenty of time to lie there and think and plot. And instead of lying there plotting, people are to tremble before God and not sin, to search their hearts and be silent. Now, for those of us who are no longer part of that crowd because they're not mocking God's faithful servant, we can still sin as we lie down on our beds. The times when I struggle to go to sleep quickly are normally after a meeting or after an evening spent with lots of people. In one sense, that's natural, isn't it? All the excitement and all the things that are going on and things that are said kind of stirs us up, and it takes time for us to just relax and just calm down and go to that, find that peaceful place where we can sleep. In one sense, that's natural. But it's not quite as simple as that. In part, it's due to sin. Let me give you a few examples. I often replay conversations that I've had. But in these replayed conversations, I say something different. I say something better. I say something wiser. I'm the one who's the funny one in the conversation. Because that's the one that I want to be. I replay these things because this is the person that I want to be rather than the person that I actually am. Or maybe I recognize times where I think, what on earth did I say that for? What on earth did I do that for? And I feel shame at what I've said or done. I could give you a lot more examples like that. I'm guessing I'm not alone in doing that. Now, we may not be lying on our beds plotting murder, but we can still sin through pride, wanting people to think better of us, wanting to be the main person there, through envy, thinking about that person and wishing I was more like them or had this that they have and this that they have, through bitterness against that person. Why did they say that to me? Tremble and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. That's the solution, says David. Be silent. Stop these thoughts that are going round and round in your heart. They're going round and round in your mind. Stop that anxiety. Stop that fear. Stop that pride, that envy, that bitterness, that malice. Whatever it is that's going on, abandon your idols, those idols of wanting to be liked, of wanting success, of wanting that life and not this life. Abandon those idols. Search your hearts and be silent. And third step, trust in the sacrifice that the Lord has provided. Trust in God's sacrifice. Or as David puts it here in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Who are you trusting in? It's so easy for us to trust in ourselves. We are the people who are going to carve out this way of life, who are going to carve out this path in life, and we're going to get this that we want, and we're going to do this. And we trust in ourselves. Trusting in myself to be that person, to live that lifestyle, to impress people in that way. And as I lie awake at night, having searched my heart, I'm to trust in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. His death, paying for my sin and my guilt, the things that I've done wrong. His death paying for my shame, all the ways in which I've done things and people are looking at me. His death paying to protect me. His death giving me the blessing that we were made to experience in this life. What do I need that I haven't been given through Jesus' sacrifice? He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We trust in the sacrifice that God has provided, that one perfect sacrifice that has forever reconciled us to God, the one who's made us the way we are, the one who's carved out a path that we're to walk, the one who's got a future inheritance for us that we could only dream about. That is what I'm to trust in. Abandon your idols. Search your hearts and be silent, and trust in the sacrifice that Jesus has already made for us. Now, verse 6, David stops talking to the people, and he turns again to God and talks to him. There are many who doubt, wondering who will bring prosperity. It seems that there are different kinds of people surrounding David. There are those that he's referred to in verse 2 who turn his glory into shame. They love delusions. They seek false gods. There are those who may not be going after false gods. They may not be actively persecuting David, but they may be struggling to trust in God. And they ask, verse 6, who will bring us prosperity? Now, our world too is a mix. And our friends and our family are a mix. From people who are violently against Jesus and against all who stand for Jesus, to those who are kind of on the edge of church life, who may not know exactly where they are and aren't against Jesus and maybe want to be part of church and one with Jesus, but maybe haven't yet repented and trusted in Jesus. Who will bring us prosperity? That's a good question. Now, David knows the answer. It's not those other gods. It's not those false gods that people have been going after that have been deluding them. It's the Lord who brings prosperity. When his face shines on you, then you know joy. It's like when the sun rises and shines on the land knows prosperity. The plants grow, the flowers blossom, the people are warmed and fed. In the same way, when God turns his face towards us, the people know blessing and prosperity. One commentator wrote this: to see God's face is to be in his presence. When he hides his face, he cloaks or hides his presence. And humans experience the terrible limitations of their own meager power. When God's face shines, humans experience the benefit and joy that his presence brings. That is where David wants us to end up, in the presence of the Lord. But he counsels us to go through these steps. Step one, abandon our idols. Anything else that we're trusting in, what we're looking to for our meaning, for our comfort, for our success, for our joy. Search our hearts to see those hidden motivations, those wrong desires, that sin that's lurking there. Turn it over to the Lord in repentance and trust in him and in the rescue that he has provided already, that he has achieved, that he has done, that's finished through his son and his death on the cross. And as we approach God as sinners made right by his sacrifice, so we know the warmth of his smile upon us. Now, if we want a relationship with God without going through that, then we're not going to find one. We may know some relationship with some distant God who we might call God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of Jesus. It's not the God of this salvation. It's not the God who's going to bring the blessing promised in the Bible. salvation, forgiveness, eternal inheritance. We go through these steps. We abandon those idols and we trust in the salvation, the only salvation that He has offered through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe more important for us here, if we stop short of verse 6, then we too can have problems. If we trust in the sacrifice of Jesus, but don't go on to enjoy this saving relationship with God, then we're missing out on the whole point of the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. This is Paul writing to the Colossians. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight. The cross reconciles us to God, that we might know God, that we might enjoy the light of His face shining on us, the warmth of His smile upon us. David asks God in verse 7, fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. Knowing the Lord as forgiven sinners is the root to joy. Now, we probably haven't seen the joy of harvesters when grain and new wine abound. We're more likely to have seen the joy of shoppers who've discovered those great New Year's bargains. But we can imagine those in an agricultural economy, dependent for their very survival on a good harvest, rejoicing with a bumper harvest. That's the joy that David is speaking about here. That's the joy that those people know who come to God through Jesus. This is the path to peaceful sleep. Verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. David himself can sleep peacefully because he knows the Lord makes him dwell in safety despite the people around who cause him distress. Our King Jesus, who knew this psalm, prayed this psalm, could sleep peacefully in a boat during a storm that scared those fishermen who'd lived on that lake. That Jesus could sleep peacefully because He trusted in His Father. And if we belong to Jesus, as we abandon those false gods that we go after, and come to Him in repentance, trusting in His one perfect sacrifice, we too can lie down and we can sleep peacefully. So what stops you from sleeping peacefully? Is it fear for yourself, your health, your work? Fear for your children, your grandchildren? Worry about the future, worry about money, worry about relationships. Is it a ceaseless mind and heart that won't stop? Thoughts that replay the day. Dreams of the life that we should have had. The life that we strive for. The sin of anger, bitterness, envy, malice, greed, lust. Knowing Jesus through repentance and trust in His death doesn't often stop all that straight away. We're still affected by our old natures. We still live in a world that's going at 110 miles an hour in the opposite direction to God. We still live afflicted by Satan, who does his best to throw darts at us, that we might look away and stop trusting in God. And so we need to follow Jesus' advice, David's advice, as he tells us the path to peaceful sleep. Abandon your idols, whatever it is that you're striving after, that's not God. Examine your heart. And then repent of those things that you need to repent of. And come to the one who's given us the most important thing that we could ever want, forgiveness, through his one perfect sacrifice. This is the writer to the Hebrews. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Trust in him. Trust in him to provide what you need. Trust in him to provide what you want. Trust in him to lead you where you need to go. Trust in him and his plan for your life. Trust in him. Let his face shine on you and know the peace that we strive after, the peace that we want. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing again. And this song is going to help us to keep putting our trust in Jesus. When trials come, no longer fear. For in the pain, our God draws near. We know that there is pain. But we know that God is bigger than that pain. So let's encourage each other and know the confidence that trusting in Jesus brings.